1, 2, 3.
Welcome to In the Studio with a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock albums. I'm Redbeard, and today we go in the studio with the anniversary of an album that America embraced with open arms.
Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Streetlight Fever. Two hearts born to run. We'll be the lovely one. One that was crying out.
And I think that's one of the reasons the Escape album was a success, that it was an ambitious, broad stroke of the brush. You know, it was very ambitious. It tried to cover a lot of territory. We could have been killed for it, but Journey was in the place where that statement could be made musically. They had the freedom to actually make an artistic statement and be heard. People were listening, you know, and I think that was a real blessing for the Escape album.
What you left means to me, open arms.
Hi, this is Steve Perry of Journey.
Hi, this is Jonathan Cain.
Hi, this is Neil Sean in the studio for Journey's Escape.
In every journey, there are crossroads, pivotal moments where paths must be chosen, where there are opportunities to change direction or to go straight ahead. The rock band called Journey never stuck to the straight path. Their history has been an odyssey of twists and turns, of changes, and certainly crossroads. The first one came in 1978 when Steve Perry joined the band as lead vocalist, transforming Journey from an improvisational progressive rock band into a mainstream commercial success. And in 1981, there was another turning point. It came when keyboardist and songwriter Greg Raleigh, one of Journey's original members, left the band. Poised on the brink of fully realizing its pop music potential, Journey was faced with a critical decision. Who would be Greg Raleigh's replacement? The man they chose was Jonathan Cain. His gift for melody, particularly ballads, meshed perfectly with Steve Perry's voice and Neil Sean's prodigious guitar skills. It's no accident that Journey's first album with Jonathan Cain was also its most successful. Escape went all the way to number one and stayed in the top 40 for more than a year. To date, selling almost 10 million copies. Here's former Journey lead singer Steve Perry with me in the studio.
What happened was we were in Europe at the time, and we were touring, and Greg Raleigh pretty much had made it known to us that this was going to be his last tour. It would finish in Europe, and he was going to move on. And we had already had some touring in the States with the Babies opening for us. And Greg really had admired Jonathan Cain's playing every night, and we also, and the entire entourage that was the Babies at the time. And so Greg told us he wanted to move on and start a family and get off the road for a while because it had been a long, long haul. And he did so and actually suggested to us that we should check out Jonathan Cain because he really thought he would be a great replacement. So we really started thinking of it in that light, besides just checking out the show like, you know, most players do. And talked to him, and he was interested in it. At the time, the Babies were just breaking up, so, I mean, it couldn't have been a better situation.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going. A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume, for a smile they can share.
That's Don't Stop Believin' from Journey's Escape. Before he joined Journey, Jonathan Cain had played keyboards in The Babies with John Waite. Raised in Chicago, Cain had moved to Los Angeles and tried a solo career for a few years before joining The Babies in 1977.
That song always reminded me of coming to L.A. for the first time, you know, or leaving, like, Chicago. I left Chicago, and I came to L.A. right in the middle of the New York Dolls kind of thing, you know. This is back in the 70s. Glam rock, and I was a kid, and I'm going, God, everybody's wearing dresses, and what the heck's going on here, you know? David Bowie, you know, and was doing his punk thing, and to me, L.A. was just like a zoo. It was like a circus. It was full of strange people, and leaving Chicago and, you know, sort of an insulated kind of suburb that I lived in, and then coming to Hollywood and living right up the couple blocks up, down from Sunset, it was crazy. And so I guess we kind of took those vibes and those memories and plugged them into the song. And I don't know, anytime anybody leaves their home to go after something brand new, gets a little bit, you know, frightening. And my father used to tell me, you know, I used to call him up and say, you know, it's not going very good yet. You know, I don't know what I'm doing here yet. And he said, well, stick to your guns, don't stop believing. You know, I know those were his lines. And so I just had this little piece laying around, and we put it all together, and it still sticks. It's great.
Journey, co-founding guitarist Neil Sean.
Well, obviously, we were going to have to replace him with someone else. And it was my decision at the point and my idea to bring in Jonathan Cain. You know, I mean, it was like, I love Greg, and I always will. And he was not going to be easy to replace, but I had been good friends with Jonathan through that period, too, while we were on the road together. And I felt confident with Jonathan that we'd be able to replace Greg with Jonathan and just sort of do a smooth transition. And it really was a smooth transition. It's not easy to bring a new band member in and have it sound smoothly immediately. I was like real thankful that it was like that.
Cry.
Like most of the songs on the album Escape, Keep On Running from Journey was a collaboration between Steve Perry, Jonathan Cain, and Neil Sean. Sean has always been Journey's anchor, the only member who appeared on every Journey album, and a guitarist of awesome versatility. Neil Sean was a tender 18 when he joined Journey, and his ability to spontaneously construct complex musical arrangements is legend among his peers. I asked Neil Sean how he does it.
I hear the whole orchestra, you know, in my head. I just hear it. Hearing it is like the main thing. Learning how to play it is easy after that. You know, but if you hear it in your head, you can play it. It's just a matter of sticking your fingers on the right strings in the right place. I do feel like I have a natural gift, and it's not something that I really have to work at. It's something that comes out within. You know, it comes out from my heart, from my soul. You know, I mean, it's something deeper than that. I love playing music. It's why I was put on this world. That's what I feel. I'm not just doing it to pose to be a rock and roll star. I'm not really concerned with that. I'm here to play music and let people hear it.
Those crazy nights I do remember in my youth. I do recall those were the best times, most of all.
Can't help myself, I'm falling.
Stone in Love, originally built from a riff that Neil Sean improvised at a party one night. When we come back, we'll hear the story behind Journey's first top 10 single. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Jonathan Cain, Neil Sean, and Steve Perry. Journey's Escape.
Hi, this is Steve Perry, and this is In the Studio for Escape.
Hi, this is Neil Sean in the studio.
This is Jonathan Cain, and welcome back to In the Studio for Journey's Escape.
And I'm Redbeard. In spite of their unprecedented popularity, which continues to this day, Journey really never managed to get much critical acclaim. Although he says it doesn't bother him, guitarist Neil Sean does have a theory as to why the critics were so unfriendly.
At this point, the band was so diversified musically that I think we confused a lot of critics. Critics like people, you know, that wrote stuff about us that we were a no-name, nondescript musical entity, which I think was total bull because they couldn't slap an identity on us because we played everything. Sometimes critics get a little perturbed with the fact that they cannot, you know, slap an identity on you and say that you're, you know, a punk rocker or you're a hard rocker or you're an R&B artist or you're a blues artist. We were all of the above, I feel. And I feel that if anybody didn't like us, that was one of the reasons they didn't like us for.
The title song Escape is a great one from Journey's album. I asked Steve Perry about the evolution of Journey's songwriting once Jonathan Cain joined the band.
I felt really, really comfortable writing with John. John and I have written, I think, some beautiful songs together. Songwriters have a tendency to, at times, like any relationship, it can be bickery. And that's the truth. You know, you can have a songwriting love-hate relationship, you know, to work together that can be an interesting tug of war that creates a tension. And I'm not talking, you know, words or rude words, but a tension to not give in, a creative tension, and not to give in to each other's direction. Totally alone you would be, you know, in your own direction, or alone by this way, by yourself. But you create this stress creatively that brings out the better between the two of you that you could not do alone individually. And I think that really, really pertains to John Cain and myself, and also Neil, myself, and John and Neil, the three. That really makes a triangle of creative strength there, I think.
A case in point is the song Who's Crying Now, which began as Steve Perry's idea. Then Jonathan Cain worked on it with him, and finally Neil Sean added that famous guitar solo on The Ride Out. Here's Jonathan Cain's recollection of when Steve Perry first played him Who's Crying Now.
He came over to the house. I was staying in the city, and it was pouring rain. And he was all excited about this melody he had written, and he hummed the whole thing for me. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he was just, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, really, Steve? This is great. So we sat down and to the Wurlitzer in the corner, and he almost heard how the chords should be, but he wasn't a keyboard player, so he didn't quite know where they lay, you know. And I just sort of interpreted, you know, sort of audited him, you know, and said, okay, how about this? And I could play this chord, and which one do you like better, you know? And he just said, well, I like this. And he knew exactly what he wanted, you know. Then we put the harmonies on it, and then, you know, what are we going to call it, you know? And then it's like, it sounded sad. I don't know. It just seemed like a good title to call it Who's Crying Now. And Neil, of course, put his brand of symphonic soloing at the end. It's probably one of the most imitated solos, I think. Oh, I mean, I've heard that riff. He goes, I mean, I hear that so many times in little solos. Everybody's playing it sometime or another. But that's, once again, the lyrical, you know, marriage that we'd come together and it would explode into this, you know, great thing. And again, it was sort of a departure for Journey musically, because it was just piano and voice at the beginning, you know. Again, it was naked. It was naked melody, which I think is, it's sexy stuff. It exposes Steven's voice and the emotion that is conveyed to the song. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. And it became our signature. And that song, they tell me, was the beginning of adult contemporary rock and roll.
One love beats. who never dies.
Founding guitarist Neil Sean of Journey.
Listen, this was the funny thing about that guitar solo, too. At the time, I was messing around with a lot of guitar synthesizers. So I was hearing some kind of a trumpet guitar solo, and it was a little bit more jazzier than what it ended up being. And I hooked up all this stuff, and I was trying to play a lot of notes and make it sound interesting. And everybody turned to me and says, look it, man, just play the simplest thing off the top of your head, all right? And so I did it as a joke. I played something that I thought sounded pretty stupid, all right? Because I was kind of in like in a cocky mood or something. I don't know. And I didn't want everybody telling me what to play. So like I went and tried to act like an idiot and played something as the silliest thing I could think of. That's what I played on that song. And everybody turned up to me at the end of it and said, we love it. And I went, you got to be kidding. Then everybody in the world loved it after that, which was even funnier. And I found out a new trademark of my playing, that the simpler stuff that I play is sometimes the things that people understand that is a style of mine, you know? And I never knew it before that song.
Up next, Journey's biggest hit ever. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Jonathan Cain, Neil Sean, and Steve Perry. Journey's Escape.
This is Jonathan Cain, and welcome back to In the Studio for Journey's Escape.
Hi, this is Neil Sean in the studio.
Hi, welcome back in the studio. I'm Steve Perry with Redbeard for Escape.
And I'm Redbeard. What may be most significant about the Escape album is that it represented a broadening of the Journey sound, songs that made the band's music more appealing to mature and particularly female fans. But in truth, the Escape album is loaded with some ambitious, almost orchestral musical pieces, such as Mother Father. Here's Jonathan Cain of Journey in the studio.
Mother Father comes to mind as the first real piece of music that triumphed from that sort of marriage between Neil and myself and Steve, and kind of making a statement at the same time, because I don't know, we didn't know what we were going to call it, and I thought the family was a good place to start. And so if you listen to that piece, you can hear Neil's classical influences. And I think that's one of the reasons the Escape album was a success, that it was an ambitious, broad stroke of the brush. You know, it was very ambitious. It tried to cover a lot of territory. We could have been killed for it, but Journey was in the place where that statement could be made musically. They had the freedom to actually make an artistic statement and be heard. People were listening. You know, and I think that was a real blessing for the Escape album.
She sits alone, an empty stare. Armor, this face she wears. Where did she go wrong? The fight is gone. Lord help this broken home. Hey, mother, father, sister. Hey, come back. I'm trying, believing. Hey, mother.
We'll be right back.
Journey guitarist and co-founder Neil Sean talks about Mother, Father.
It's a musical statement that I don't think any other band has even come close to that. As far as vocal performance, intensity of a song, and electric band being a total orchestra, and classical, but still have the balls of a rock band. You know what I mean? In the earlier days, the English era, you know, when the English bands were more into that, and I had really missed that era, and I had these chords that are very reminiscent of Bach. And I mean, I used to listen to Bach all the time. I just loved it, the music. And my dad had written some chords. I showed him these chords long before I showed it to band. And he had written some chords in the middle that I played the first guitar solo over. That's real melodic and different. And I remember we brought this in, and I had it pretty much laid out. And then Stephen and Jonathan came up with the melodies again and the lyrics. And that was that. But that was a very intense song. I was disappointed that that one out of all of them never got any radio play, because I thought it was real brilliant.
The biggest hit from the Escape album was also its gentlest song, a ballad called Open Arms. The original song was by Jonathan Cain, who remembers the first time he played it for Steve Perry.
Yeah, I had it finished before I ever got up there, actually, as a piece of music, and I had the chorus. And I played it for Steve one afternoon, and he just lit up. He said, "John, that's beautiful." I said, I've had this for a while, you know, and he said, "Well, let's finish it this afternoon." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." So we started writing the lyrics in his house. I had a little white Wurlitzer piano that I used to carry around with me. God, I used to think it was so portable. It is a heavy mother, too, you know. I remember dragging it in down his stairs, you know. Back in those days, the Wurlitzer was the ticket, you know. So I dragged that thing down everywhere we went. And we finished the song in the afternoon, and we played it for the band the next afternoon, and they all stood there with their mouths open. What do we do with this? And Steve was very brave about it. He didn't make any bones about that it was a great piece of music, and he fought for it, and he said, "Hey, you know, this is a great piece of music, and we should put it on the Escape album." And I wasn't sure. I was so close to it, and I knew the Journey was synonymous with rock and roll. And I said, "But is it rock and roll?" He said, "It doesn't matter. You know, it's a great melody, and I want to sing it." Of course, you know, being the great band that it was, they could play anything, really. I remember the first time we played it, and it absolutely soared. It was great. We played a couple times, and we just waited till we got in the studio for some magic to come down. And I remember I was really sick. I had a bad cold. I was so ill, and they were going to cut it that morning. I said, "Oh, God, not today," you know. So we did a fairly great version of it, and I wasn't really knocked out with it. I thought, "Well, I think we should recut that," you know. And everybody kept saying, "No, it's great, it's great. You just feel lousy, John." I said, "I think we can get more guts to it, though. It's just kind of, no, that's you. That's just, you're feeling bad." And, you know, what did I know? It went on to be a number one record.
Lying beside you, here in the dark, feeling your heart with mine. Softly you whisper, you're so blind. What you left means to me open arms.
It's just very flattering to know that, you know, this stuff has lasted. And, you know, Steve used to say to me, timeless music takes time. You know, you have to be patient with your ideas and let them grow. And certainly we had no idea when we were sitting down to write that album. We weren't trying to really write a concept album, but we were trying to write an album that reflected the way we grew up and the way we felt about certain things, you know.
Just a small town girl. Living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised right here in Houston. He took the midnight.
Journey live on the 1981 Escape Tour in Houston. I'm Redbeard. I'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests Neil Sean and Jonathan Cain of Journey, plus Steve Perry. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Red Beard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2016, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brunet. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.